There's not a politician in the whole country who doesn't put our children first, and their education first, too. And almost every one of them votes to pour more money into our failing public education system. Cato Center for Educational Freedom has been burning the midnight oil to advocate parental choice, allowing parents to take their children out of failing government schools and put them in better schools, where they'll have a real chance to learn. Nobel laureate Milton Friedman came up with a few notable ideas in a Cato City seminar.
If you start at the very beginning of the problem, the state of public government education, I shouldn't say public education, I think one of the big problems is that we refer to the public schools. They're government schools. They're not public schools. After all, if you look at it at the university level, supposedly Berkeley is a public institution and Stanford is a private institution. But there's no respect in which Stanford is less public than Berkeley. Both of them get about half their income from the government. Both of them have large endowments. One of them is supposedly owned by the government, and the other is supposedly owned by the board of directors or trustees of Stanford. But they're both public institutions. Public utilities are not government utilities, they're public utilities. And so I try to use to refer to government schools as opposed to public schools. At any rate, I think there is general agreement here, and there is in the country, that the government schools, the schools in which 88% of our kids, of the kids in the country, are enrolled, are not producing a very good result. It's a disgrace and a scandal that literacy is lower in the United States today than it was 100 years ago. There's hardly any other area in our society in which you can say that we are as badly off as we were 100 years ago. But in the case of schooling, you can say that the average level of schooling is lower. There are more people who are functionally illiterate. We aren't teaching kids to read, write, or do arithmetic, and there are high dropout rates. And so I think nobody here needs to be persuaded that our government monopoly school system, which is really run by the teachers' unions in large part, is a failure, and that it needs reform. Everybody agrees with that. If we could go to our ideal system, if we could make a magical change, go to any extreme, what would be the ideal system that we would aim at? And I believe that probably all of us in this room would agree that the ideal system would be one in which parents were responsible for arranging for the schooling of their own children, and in which the government played no role whatsoever, except, possibly, to provide funds to assist the children of indigent families. That was John Stuart Mill's proposal in, what was it, 1848 or thereabouts, and it seems to me it remains the ideal today. Why should the government be providing schooling any more than it should be providing food or housing or clothes? The parents are the ones who have the primary interest in their children. The parents are the ones who are responsible for feeding the children, for clothing the children, for housing the children. Why shouldn't they also be responsible for schooling them? You do have the problem that there are some families in which the parents would not be in a position to discharge that responsibility. We have that problem now. Most of us would hope that private charity could do the major job, but I think few of us would deny that if it didn't, we would be prepared to have government funds used to help the indigent. So we have the beginning point and the ultimate ideal ending point. The question is, how do we get from here to there? And that's where vouchers come in, as a means to try to get away from the government monopolized school system into one which gives parents greater responsibility and enables them to exercise their choice of how their children get schooled.